Yeah. Where is that, like, sequel to Princess Bride where Buttercup and Wesley are just, like, hanging out and Wesley's like, so I have murdered, like, a lot of people.
Well, do you want me to tell you about the time I was a pirate?
Because, like, that wasn't a super fun romantic thing. Like, I did kill people.
I like the idea of there being a movie that's about, like, what Wesley was doing in the 5 years that he was away from Buttercup, but then also goes into what Inigo does in his years as the Dread Pirate Roberts. Yes. But it's a Bollywood movie starring Dilkar Salman and
Ranveer Singh.
And Ranveer Singh. No, we need someone who's like, because Ranveer Singh is too silly. Okay, if Dilkar Salman is the other.
Anil Kapoor. Pirate.
Oh,
is
okay.
Inigo Montoya.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Cast.
Great.
He's like kind of short and slight, but like strong and wiry and handsome.
Yeah, they could both have mustaches.
Yeah.
All right, we've got to get Bollywood back on the phone. By this point, they're expecting our calls.
I know. They no longer even screen us.
Straight to Aditya Chopra. Straight through to Adi. Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood boys.
Yeah. I do feel like music plays a little bit less of a significant role in the second half of Guns and Gulabs, but still important.
Unfortunately, yes. Although I do think that the score is still really good.
It is really good, yeah.
It's just that the characters aren't hearing the music that we are.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Less about singing, less about dancing, but a lot about guns.
Definitely a lot about guns. Yeah.
And shooting and also love.
And love. Absolutely. I think that's
PR.
That can maybe also be a part of the Gulabs concept.
Yes.
It's like we got the plants and we've got the love and it just all comes together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a reminder, we covered episodes 1 through 4 last week, and now this week we're going to be talking about 6 through... Sorry, nope. Math is hard.
We just cut 5 out. We were like, that one doesn't matter.
Don't need it. And this week we're going to be talking about 5 through 7, and 7 is really parts 7 and 8.
Right. Sneaky like that.
Yeah, and now having finished all of it, I love it so much.
Yep.
And I very, very much look forward to a second season.
I know, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this was my first time rewatching it since finding out that there was going to be a second season. I honestly don't know if that's true or not. I might be lying. But this was the first time I was watching it really thinking about it. And I just, I was noticing all of the threats of, like, the Calcutta gang, and they're like, oh, if anything happens to us, if this deal doesn't go right, that Calcutta gang is going to come down on you like an army. And so that's a little threatening there.
Yeah. Oh, I see. I had missed that. But that's, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's a fair amount to talk about, but
absolutely,
we should maybe just do the recap and then debrief at the end.
And then debrief. I think that's probably the better way of doing things.
Yes, perfect. So Guns and Gulabs, part 2. Mm-hmm. We start with chapter 5. Do Dil Mil Rahe Hain. Or When Two Hearts Meet.
Lovely. So
very
romantic.
Very romantic, yes. And we get a little flashback to Arjun visiting Pratap in prison. Mm-hmm. But then we get a part that we haven't seen. And we'll find that they're fond of doing this in the second half of Guns and Gulabs.
Uh-huh.
But in this part that we haven't previously seen, we see Arjun telling Pratap that he can't change the past, but he can get him money to make his future better if Pratap stops trying to destroy Arjun's life. Pratap names an exorbitant price, and Arjun is like, it's a deal.
Yeah.
So this is why we see him doing what he's doing with the opium.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to the hospital where everyone is staring down at Ganji in his hospital bed, and the doctor says that his condition is improving and he should recover soon. And Jugnu tells his best friend, Nirmal, that all he wants is for his father to tell him he's proud of him, and for that to happen, he needs to close this deal.
Yeah, that would be big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did write at this point that Adarsh Gaurav has a really, like, pretty face. Like,
he has a beautiful face.
He has beautiful bone structure and, like, his eyes. And I was just like, wow, I'm enchanted by your beauty.
He's, like, all I can think about, really, aside from the plot. I just am, like, I am really enchanted by him.
Yeah.
And his acting, because it's almost like a blank canvas, too. Like,
yeah,
he can kind of be whatever he needs to be.
And I think, yeah, I'm glad we got to see him in these two very different roles, because it really is clear that, yeah, he can do a lot of stuff with what he's doing. So, yeah, I'm excited to see more of him in the future.
Me too. I'm like, I'm going to follow everything he's in, like, and it'll jump to the top of my list because I think he's such an interesting actor because, yeah, he's able to be, like, scary and intimidating, but also a sympathetic character, but also funny.
Yeah.
Like, you can laugh at him, you can be mad at him, you can be scared of him, you can cry with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's very cool.
He is very cool. Yeah, I agree.
In the next scene, Joe meets up with Nanu after school, and I mention this only because it's so unbelievably adorable.
Uh-huh.
And they walk their bikes together, and they're just having their cute little, like, school crush. And Joe puts together that he was the one that removed the drawing from the wall, and she touches his hand and thanks him.
Yeah. Oh, it's so sweet. And he's, like, denying it.
Cute.
He's like, it wasn't me. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
But she knows.
She knows. He also gives me big, like, he's going to grow up to be, like, a Rajkumar Rao.
Yes.
Like, he kind of has softer features.
Yeah. That is his essence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, just gentle.
Yeah.
Like, although Tipu, you know.
there's a point I made later about, like, a soft criminal. That's the perfect man.
I love Tipu.
Yeah.
I agree with that. We really do jump around from people, like, characters to characters.
Yeah.
Because we then see Jugnu going to speak with Arjun to try to get the confiscated opium back because he has to make his father proud.
Yeah.
Arjun has, like, no patience for this, and he's like, no, I'm not going to work with you. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
We then see Tipu all dressed up because he's going on a date with Leika.
His coat is so large.
It is so large, and he looks adorable.
He does.
And they go to get ice cream, and he's trying to impress her with his English, but he's not very successful.
No, he's only been learning it for, like, 3 days.
Yeah, it's very enchanting. And after their date, which, by the way, on their date, Leika is like, so, have you killed anyone else?
I know.
And he's like, no. And she's like, huh, okay.
She likes a killer. What can we say?
Apparently. And, like, look, there's a time and a place.
Yeah, for killing.
Yeah. And it's usually, like, in books or movies for me, personally.
Yeah, not here in an ice cream shop.
No. But anyway, after their date, Tipu asks Leika why she likes him. And she jokes, who told you that I like you?
Yeah.
And for a moment, he's like, what?
He's so
sweet.
He's so innocent.
Yeah, and he then drives her home on his motorcycle, but she makes him drop her off near her house, not at her house, saying that she'll walk the rest of the way, and she then tells him not to tell anyone about them.
Yeah, not super flattering.
She also was, like, putting her scarf, like, around,
like,
her face, and
her
I was like, oh, maybe it's because of the wind. And then I was like, I don't think it's because of the wind.
Yeah, she's maybe gotten some things to work through if she wants to continue in this relationship.
And this is why I kept thinking that maybe she has, like, connections to a gang. You know, like, I don't think she does, though, having seen the whole series. But, yeah.
I think she is just straight up embarrassed to be seen with Tipu.
Oh. He's a sweetie. And he's handsome.
He is handsome. Yeah.
Whatever. Meanwhile, Jugnu is telling his guys that they should steal from the government mm-hmm. since the government stole from them. And you know, that's logic.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
An eye for an eye makes the whole world see better, apparently.
Exactly. Don't listen to what Gandhi said. So Jugnu and his guys go out and harass the farmers, taking their opium that was promised to the state. And sure enough, one of these farmers is Leka's father. Mm-hmm. And he gets a little beaten up, so we see her help him into bed. And then she goes and gets on her motorcycle and goes straight to Tipu and tells him that his gang came and harassed her father. And without a crop to give to the state, she and her father could lose their growing license as well as their land. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you need to help me. But Tipu is silent because he's just processing everything and trying to figure out, like, what's going on mm-hmm. here? And so she's like, you know what? Forget it. I don't want to add to your problems. Mm-hmm. Then we flash to Arjun, who calls Sikanto and says that his consignment will be ready in a few days and they should meet to discuss delivery plans. Mm-hmm. Just want to make a note here that the meeting they eventually have, they literally exchange two sentences yeah. that they could have just said over the phone, but...
This it's is fine. Like Nabeed and his whole thing of like this, or Atmaram and his yeah. whole thing of like this could have been a phone call.
Exactly. Could have been a phone call, could have been an email.
Yeah.
And then back at the school, Gangu sees that the drawing of Joe has been erased. Mm-hmm. And then he witnesses that at lunch, Joe brings Nanu a book she thinks he'll like. Which is so sweet. I'm like, that's my method of flirting.
Yeah. I do think it's funny that both of the books that Joe, like, we see her reading have, like, naked women on the cover.
Yeah.
And she's just like, don't judge a book by its cover. And it's like, well, I mean, we won't, but why is that all you seem to be reading?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Like, it's not like it's a problem, but it's just interesting that that's your choice.
It is interesting. Let's note the pattern here.
Yeah.
And Gangu starts berating Nanu for reading vulgar English books because they're ruining Indian culture. And then the subject of the fight then moves from culture to girls because Gangu can't believe Nanu is in love with Joe. Mm-hmm. We then see Tipu approach Jugnu to tell him to return the harvest to Leka's father. But Jugnu is like, nah.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
I agree with you. Bunty's amazing. And like in this whole conversation, Bunty is like, no, you don't understand. Tipu is in love with Leka and it would be so much help to him in pursuing this love yeah. if you would just give the opium back. I love it. Bunty's a good wingman.
Yeah, Bunty loves love.
I love Bunty.
And you love love. Just all.
And I love love.
It's all connected. Just all the love.
Meanwhile, the narcotics guys are continuing to count the opium they've seized, but Arjun keeps refusing to sign off on any official records, mm-hmm. meaning that there is still no official record of how much was taken. And other narcotics officials are starting to take notice, but Arjun is apparently oblivious to this, and he's just, like, in a great mood. Everything is coming up Arjun. And he returns home to his... right? He's so handsome.
He's so handsome.
Not that you should get everything in the world just because you're handsome.
But if, like... you're that handsome and that nice, you know, it just...
yeah. Yeah. But Arjun returns home to his wife, thriving with her business, mm-hmm. and they dance.
That's so cute.
It's so cute. And he says he's proud of her.
Yeah.
And it's all wonderful.
It's beautiful.
And next, we see Atmaram sitting on his bike outside of the hospital. And inside the hospital... Tipu is sitting with Bunty. I think they're both complaining about Jugnu while they guard Ganchi. Mm-hmm. And the power cuts out.
Yeah.
And Tipu and Bunty go to investigate and see Atmaram entering the hospital, which would be terrifying.
Yeah, he's a scary guy.
He's so scary, but also weirdly so likable.
I know. He is such a good villain. Like,
yeah.
It's like you were just saying with Adarsh Gaurav as Jugnu. It's like at the same time you're like, I'm scared of you, but I'm amused by you. And like, I don't want you to succeed, but I do want you to survive because I find you so entertaining.
Yeah, yeah. But also don't survive yeah. because don't come after my
the
friends.
The people I love, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, Tipu tells Bunty to watch over Ganchi while he goes and tells the men they have stationed at the doors that they're under attack. And then there's this whole gunfight. as Tipu and his guys try to keep Atmaram's guys from reaching the ICU, but Tipu doesn't know how to shoot a gun, and Atmaram is just being super chill through this whole thing. Like, he's just standing behind cover smoking as everyone is, like, shooting at everyone else.
Yeah.
And then when things calm down, he uses his burning cigarette to light the fuse of a small bomb.
Yeah.
And I say a small bomb because it's not like a grenade. You don't pull a pin. It is like a cartoon bomb.
It is, yeah, just like a ball of rope, I guess, with gunpowder inside. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I don't know.
That he was apparently just carrying around in his coat, like, multiple of these bombs.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of, like, if you watch, like, Black Sails or old-timey pirate shows. It's very pirate-y,
yes.
Yeah. Yes. But so he uses his burning cigarette to light the fuse of this bomb, which he then tosses toward Gonchi's men. But the bomb doesn't go off.
Nope.
So Atmaram sends out one of his guys amidst the gunfire to bring the bomb back. And he tries it again, and this time he's successful. And then he does a really cool move where one of Gonchi's men goes to shoot him at close range. But Atmaram, like, kicks him in the hand, changing the direction of his gun after he's already pulled the trigger, so that the guy ends up shooting himself in the head.
Yeah, it's a real move.
It was. And I was like, I have to note this. This is incredible.
It is incredible. I wrote it down, too, saying this cannot be not talked about.
No. And then Tipu has, you know, been involved in the fight. He's not great at shooting. He then runs up to join Bunty at the ICU. So he's there when Atmaram arrives. Mm-hmm. And Tipu and Bunty try to shoot Atmaram, who then pretends to get shot so that he can lure them over to him. And so Bunty goes to check out, like, is he actually dead? And Atmaram ends up catching Bunty. And he then taunts Tipu to reveal himself or else watch another friend die. Mm-hmm. And as Atmaram is counting down to Bunty's death, Tipu slides in between Atmaram's legs and points a homemade pistol at his crotch and tells him to let Bunty go or he'll shoot him between the legs. Mm-hmm. And Atmaram does, but Tipu shoots him anyway, only to blow a hole straight through the crotch of Atmaram's pants. And Atmaram jumps out the window and escapes. And in this moment, I literally was like, oh my god, does he not have genitals because he's like a robot? Or
that's an interesting theory.
Because it felt like the hole they showed, I don't know how your bits are not in the way.
It's high up enough that even if you're wearing slightly baggy pants that were the style in the 80s and 90s.
Right.
You're probably still... something's going to get clipped at least.
Exactly. Like, it'd be one thing if they only got, like, the seam.
Uh-huh.
You know, but this was solidly, like, it was your crotch. Like, yeah. So then I was just like, there's going to be this whole thing where, like, he doesn't have testicles. Like, I don't even know.
Did you forget about his
I knew legs? About his seven deaths thing, but I didn't necessarily consider his privates being blown off, I guess, like, a death.
I guess that's fair. I guess, you know, yeah. You hadn't yet heard his whole cricket theory.
metaphor. So I don't know. But anyway, Atmaram still has all of his bits. It's
as far as we know.
As far as we're aware. And that is the end of chapter, or so concludes chapter 5. Chapter 6 presents a unique dilemma because this is a clean podcast. Mm-hmm. And I could say the title in Hindi, but evidently if they translated it into English with a naughty word, I have to believe that one of the Hindi words is also a naughty word.
Yeah.
So can I just say it?
I think you can say it. I don't know what, I don't remember what the title is, so I'm excited.
Okay. So chapter 6 is called Pyar Chutiyapa Hai. Love is a bitch.
Love is a bitch.
Love is a bitch. Karma's a bitch. Love is a bitch. But, you know, that's fine.
Does that mean Chutiyapa means bitch?
It must, yeah, because PR is love. And
we know what the other two words are, so by process of elimination.
You chooty yappa. But so chapter 6 opens up with Bunty acting out how Tipu scared off Atmaram. Uh-huh. And Jugnu sees this and says that since Tipu has successfully saved his father's life, he will work to avenge Tipu's father's death. Mm-hmm. Then we see Arjun at the police office, and he gets approached by one of the other narcotics officers, Ramprasad, who asks him why he's delayed recording the opium. Arjun shuts him down, and later that day, he offers to drive Ramprasad home. Mm-hmm. Arjun then stops them at a remote spot, and he tells Ramprasad that he's stealing from thieves. When Ramprasad asks him why he's doing this, Arjun says if he doesn't, he'll lose everything. Mm-hmm. And he tells Ramprasad that he can help him or he can report him. And I'm really curious what would have happened.
I don't think Arjun would have
killed him. No.
But I did wonder if Arjun was going to kill him as they were going to.
Yeah.
I think you're definitely supposed to also feel like maybe he might kill Ramprasad in that moment.
Yeah.
But once he says that, like, I think the way he delivers it does sound, like, very honorable, where he's like, listen, I'm telling you what the deal is. You can report me if you want to, but this is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He doesn't ever have to think if he would kill Ramprasad, right? Because Ramprasad is in.
Kudos to Ramprasad. He's ready to do some crime.
Yeah. God, who wouldn't be? Like, Arjun could lead his own gang. He's very charismatic.
I would follow that man to the ends of the earth.
At the school, Gangu approaches Leka as she's getting ready to go home, and he confesses his love to her.
Yeah.
And she shuts it down.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, but he's very optimistic, and he won't take no for an answer, so he's like, I'll check in a few days.
It's just like Mr.
And
then Collins.
Oh my God, Mr. Collins. That is such an insult to Gangu.
It really is. I think he redeems himself in a big way.
I do too. But Gangu then runs away. And then Bunty and Tipu are brainstorming how to help Leka because, you know, Jugnu said no to returning the opium to her father. And they mention that they could steal the crop from a Sherpur farm. And as they're chatting, they see both Sukanto's car and Arjun's car heading out of town on a dirt road. Mm-hmm. And Bunty and Tipu follow them and see them having the meeting in which they both exchange, like, one sentence to figure out their delivery plans. Which, again, this meeting is them just saying, yeah, it'll be ready for delivery. I'll let you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Jugnu and one of his advisors are having a conversation where they go over the old story of how Nabeed would have inherited the business if Jugnu hadn't been born or had been born a girl. Mm-hmm. Jugnu pushes back against this, asking why a girl couldn't manage the business.
Great question.
Mm-hmm. And the advisor is like, no, you're missing the point, but I mentioned that for a reason.
Yeah.
Jugnu then picks up the phone and calls Nabeed. Like, they're like debating, okay, how do we play this? And Jugnu's just like, whatever, I'll just call him. And he then invites Nabeed to talk face to face about this deal. Tipu and Bunty then decide to enact their plan to steal opium from someone else, and they do this by getting Tipu's family friend drunk and questioning him. And this family friend tells them that Arjun is raiding farms but not documenting it, so all of this opium is piling up in warehouses and there's no real record of it.
Mm-hmm. Did you write the story about the monkeys?
No.
I just wanted to say that they were junkie monkeys.
What is that story? When did
It's the guy. It's the friend. Oh, the family friend who he's okay. Like, tell the story about the monkeys who got high on the opium. They're junkie monkeys.
Yes. Now I remember. Yeah. That guy was delightful.
He was. Yeah, he's great.
But, right. Okay. So Arjun goes to visit Yamini and tells her that he wishes her well, and this is the last time that they will see each other. Mm-hmm. And as he heads out to his car, Dheeraj approaches him. Now, did you mention Dheeraj's name?
No, because I don't think we know his name until
later.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good, because I was like, some guy, because I didn't recognize him.
Oh, sure.
But Dheeraj was the go-between for Pratap and Arjun, and he's involved in the whole blackmailing business.
Yeah.
So he's here at the hotel, and as Arjun is leaving, he approaches and makes a comment about Arjun having a beautiful woman here and a beautiful woman at home. Mm-hmm. And Arjun just, like, socks him in the stomach.
Yeah.
And drives away.
I mean, Daraj, he's not wrong, but it's also kind of rude.
It is rude. Like, and he's kind of smarmy, and it was like he kind of had this smug air, and so then he just gets, like, punched in the stomach.
Yeah, yeah, he deserved it.
At school, Gangu has carved another inappropriate drawing into Joe's desk.
Yeah.
And as Nanu enters the classroom, he just, like, sees that she's upset, and he kind of just tilts his chin at her. And then she shows him the drawing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is so cute that they don't even need words.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just adorable. I love body language.
Body language.
Yeah. Nanu then confronts Gangu and tells him to apologize to Joe. And I was also like, you go, Nanu. You, like, protect your lady love.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I approve of physical violence.
But this is one of those moments where, you know, makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And Gangu is Gangu, and he refuses to apologize. So Nanu pushes him, and they get into a fight. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying that if I were a 13-year-old girl and, like, the sweet, shy, quiet boy that I liked, like, pushed his friend on my behalf, as a 13-year-old girl would be like, this is super awesome.
I'm pretty sure that is, like, literally the dream.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get older and more mature, and you're like, okay, violence isn't the answer. Well, but at 13, you could think that.
You're into it. Yeah. Well, because that, you know, everyone's hormones are flying high. That's
when, oh my God, yeah.
That's when the violence is, like, kind of most likely to happen. At least it should be.
Exactly. But so then Gangu reveals to Joe that Nanu was there when he made the original drawing.
Yeah.
And Joe's super upset by this, and she tells Nanu to never talk to her again.
Yeah.
And all three boys end up getting suspended for the fight, including the third nameless boy who was just watching.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer for him.
I know, yeah, he didn't even get involved.
At the opium factory, Mishra is back.
Yep.
And he calls out Arjun for lying about having reported the opium to the narcotics head office. Mm-hmm. And Arjun says he could explain everything to Mishra, but he doesn't care enough.
Yeah, I love that.
I love it, too. And it's so, like, he just, like, doesn't have time for people's nonsense.
No.
And I respect that.
So much so.
And Mishra says he'll figure out what Arjun is planning. Mm-hmm. We then see Leika go to Gangu's house to check in on him because as he was being suspended, he revealed some information about his father, like, not being very present. And Leika offers to help Gangu and the other two boys study for their annual exams.
Yeah.
And Gangu then tells Leika that he feels bad about everything he's done, and he cries, and he apologizes. And I was like, oh, Gangu, I didn't want to like you.
I know.
But now I do.
He's
darn it.
Ultimately a good egg. And I really like that he says that he just told his friends that he liked Leika. Like, he wasn't even like, I'm into her. He was just like, I like her as a teacher. I respect her as a person. And they were like, oh, you're in love. And he kind of, like, played into it.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know, I really like that it just started off with him, like, respecting this woman. And then and then it kind of spiraled out of control. But then he, like, he brings it back to that place.
Right. He's like, I kind of convinced myself I loved you.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh. This is a good lesson for Gangu to learn, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's going to be just fine.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's a brave chap.
He is.
Too.
Yes.
Maybe a foolhardy
one. And maybe
one,
a little stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. But then Jugnu and Nabeed are having their meeting to talk about the deal with Sikanto. And Jugnu wants to work together, but Nabeed just insults him and says he doesn't want to work with him. He just wants to see Jugnu destroy his father's business.
Yeah, harsh.
Yeah, Nabeed is a terrible person.
He's mean.
He is mean. He'll get what's coming. And then there is this fantastic getting ready for a heist montage.
So good.
Of Tipu and Bunty. Like, they're like stretching and like warming themselves up. And
I like the,
it's so
the
cute.
Move with their hands on their knees and they kind of like just spin around a little bit.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? I don't necessarily think that Sunil had to die.
Yeah.
But if Sunil had to die so that Bunty could live.
Yeah. So we could see Bunty become the best friend. Yeah.
Then. Okay. And Tipu and Bunty go to the opium factory at night, And Bunty suggests that they pee on the transformer to make it blow.
Yeah.
Because he says he knew a friend that did it once and it exploded. Although that friend, it was a lower one, yeah. So they were able to pee on it.
And he was on the roof.
Yeah. And Jeeba's like, no, we're not doing that. And he uses a metal chain instead. Really handy trick.
Yeah.
Tipu and Bunty then sneak into the factory very, very loudly.
Yeah.
Like, I say sneak. They're not really sneaking.
Enter.
And they load up 50 kilos of opium onto a dolly. And they, like, rattle it out the front door, talking at normal volume. Only to see 8 to 10 guards hanging out around fires outside.
Yeah.
No one seems concerned about how the power blew out, but, like, whatever.
They're just like, this is a great opportunity to have some bonfires.
Yeah. And no one says anything or moves. They're all just looking at each other. So Bunty and Tipu set down the dolly, turn for the exit, and start to walk away.
Yeah.
Very calmly. And then they break into a run, and that's when the guards chase after them. I laughed out loud.
It's so
this
good.
Was so joyful. And there's a hilarious chase scene, and Bunty is able to get away by having Tipu boost him over a fence, but Tipu gets captured.
Yeah.
So Tipu is put into a cell, and Arjun comes to talk to him. And he asks him why he was stealing only 50 kilos of raw opium, because Bunty and Tipu had also had this conversation where Bunty was like, let's take some more. And Tipu was like, no, we're honest thieves.
Yes.
I love Tipu.
I know. He's such a good guy.
Yeah. So Tipu tells Arjun about Leka's father being robbed by Ganchi's men. And Arjun and Tipu bond over doing stupid things for love. And Arjun lets him go.
Can I just say, and I don't know if it's just because I have such a big crush on both of these men, but like, I was waiting the whole series up until this point just
to
like,
fall in love?
No, to see them be in a scene together.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they could have, it would have been fine if they'd fallen in love too. I didn't really think that was where we were going. But like,
no, it didn't feel like
but
it.
But no, I just, like, I love these two actors so much. I was like, mm-hmm. I'm so excited that they're in a series together. I want to see them on screen, like, acting together.
Yeah, and they weren't really a whole lot.
No, they, like, up until, like, the last two episodes, they really don't interact much as characters, and so, like, when this scene came around the first time, I was, like, so excited about it. I was like, oh my god, they're gonna talk!
Yeah, and it was good. Like, I wanted them to be on friendly terms with each other.
Yeah. I want them to end up on the same side.
Yeah, yeah. So, I was happy that we're heading in that direction.
Yeah.
At the hospital, a doctor and a nurse are flirting about Pink Mamba.
Yes, it's very important.
Yep. When Ganchi wakes up from his coma. And then Tipu meets up with Bunty, who tells him about Jugnu's meeting with Nabeed.
Yeah.
And Tipu is upset by this because Jugnu is trying to work with his father's killer.
Yeah.
And Tipu has a plan to get back at Jugnu, and Bunty's going to help.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, yeah.
I like how quickly Bunty turns, like,
oh, yeah.
turns on Jugnu and Ganshi. Like, he's just like, no, I like Tipu better.
Yeah, he's like, my loyalty is to you, bro. Yeah. I think it's because he's invested in Tipu's love story,
honestly. Yeah, and also because they have a lot of fun together. Like, I don't think anybody else in the gang would have had this much fun with Bunty, so, yeah.
No. Then we move on to chapters 7 and 8, Rat Baki.
Which I can't think that without hearing the song from Satya Prem Ki Kata. Ratabaki.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Ratabaki. That movie has a great soundtrack.
I should listen to it again. I think, it has a mark on it.
Yeah, the movie itself is not one I will ever watch again, but the dance numbers, they've become a regular part of my rotation. Yeah.
Okay. But yes, in English, that is The Night is Young.
The night is young,
and you're so beautiful. yeah. All right. Arjun goes to visit Mishra and tells him he has made a deal with Sikanto. And he also tells Mishra that the stock is not safe in the warehouse, and he needs Mishra's help to move it somewhere safe until the deal is final.
Yes.
And Mishra agrees.
Mefus.
Mefus.
He doesn't say that, but...
air quotes included. And yeah, so Mishra agrees, but he demands 50% of the profit. And Arjun is like, absolutely.
He just like, yeah, he's just fine agrees. With that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No negotiation. Mishra,
you should, yeah, come on. Come on.
Mishra does like nothing but doubt Arjun the whole time. And it's like,
he's... Yeah, but this time. Yeah. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Mm-hmm. But back at Arjun's house, his wife is tidying up, and she realizes that the sweater he wore to go to the hotel smells like another woman.
I wonder if it smells like Pink Mamba.
I know, I was like, is it Pink Mamba?
I'm surprised that it wasn't Pink Mamba. That's been such a big important plot point this whole time.
Love it. Meanwhile, Jugnu is informed that Arjun and Mishra have moved the opium. Mm-hmm. So he goes to confront them. And then we see Nabeed ream out Atmaram for being unable to kill an old man in a coma. He is getting, like, Nabeed is getting nastier and nastier and saying really hurtful things. And Atmaram keeps warning him, like, cool it.
Yep.
Don't keep saying this stuff.
Uh-huh.
But Nabeed doesn't listen. And then Atmaram kills him.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
And he just, like, walks out of this, like, Nabeed's, like, compound mm-hmm. and gets on his bike and rides away.
Yeah, yeah. Not before doing a little dance.
Yeah. He's a vibe.
He is a vibe and a half, this man.
It's, like, the kind of person absolutely terrifying in real life, yeah. but delightful to watch on television.
Exactly, yeah. I would not want to meet an Atmaram in real life.
No. And after the opening credits, it is nighttime, and we see Mishra overseeing the moving of the opium into the new warehouse. Mm-hmm. And then Jugnu and his men arrive and break into the compound, which is clearly horribly guarded.
Yeah.
And Jugnu has brought his best friend Nirmal
yeah.
along, just because he's been taking him everywhere.
Nirmal does not want to be there.
No, Nirmal's like a very normal guy.
He just wants to go home to his new wife.
Yeah, but Jugnu's like, I need you. You're my support system.
Yeah.
So Jugnu tells Nirmal to sit out of harm's way, and then they start a shootout with the cops. And Mishra stops the shootout and asks Jugnu what he's doing. Jugnu then shoots him multiple times.
Yeah.
So he's dead. Mishra's gone.
He is. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. But when Jugnu and his men walk into the warehouse, it's empty.
Yeah.
We then get a bit of a flashback where Tipu goes to see Arjun to ask him to lie on the official documents and say that Leka's father provided his opium.
Yep.
Tipu says, I know that you have this plan with Sikanto, so you should be able to do this for me in exchange for, you know, me keeping silent.
Mm-hmm.
Tipu then also warns him that Jugnu is planning to try to steal the opium from Arjun. And Tipu suggests that Arjun involve Mishra. And we see that this is why Arjun met with Mishra in the beginning of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I love a timeline that jumps around.
I know. It's a lot of fun.
And it's fun that they really only did it for, like, this final episode.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they give you like a little tease of it mm-hmm. in the first one, like you mentioned, or well in episode yeah. five, but like yeah, then they do it for real here.
Yeah.
It's really
very
good.
Fun.
Yeah.
And so Tipu says that then he will sneak into the warehouse while Mishra and Jugnu are fighting and he'll steal all the opium back.
Mm-hmm.
And Arjun's like, wow, okay, if this works, I will forge Leka's father's crop. Tipu is like, okay, can I get a receipt
yep.
of that? And Arjun is like, what? No, there's no receipt. I'm going to do it. And Tipu's like, no, but I need a receipt.
I need a receipt, yeah.
Aww.
I wonder what Arjun, he just like wrote on a piece of paper, like,
yeah,
like, yes, you're all set.
I owe you. We then see that while the shootout was happening, Tipu and Bunty broke into the warehouse and stole the truck, driving it out of the warehouse.
Yeah.
Tipu then hides the truck full of opium in the woods, and he and Bunty head to the Daba, where they meet Sikanto and give him the directions to the drugs, as well as the keys to the truck.
Yes.
At the police station, Arjun is waiting to hear about the drug deal when the phone rings, and it is his wife. She tells him that Joe isn't home yet, and she's worried,
mm-hmm.
and she also wants to talk with him. About the lady smell.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know that.
Nope.
And he says he'll be home soon and then hangs up, only for Tipu to call. Tipu tells Arjun that Sikanto has the keys to the truck, but he doesn't know how the shootout at the warehouse ended because he left before it was over.
Yep.
Arjun hangs up and has Ramprasad call narcotics headquarters to report the theft of the truck, as well as request backup. Meanwhile, Sikanto arrives where the truck should be, but it's not there. Mm-hmm. Then we again see the scene of Arjun telling Ramprasad to call headquarters, and we realize that that conversation happened 30 minutes before Sikanto arrived at the woods. And now we get another piece of the puzzle, which is that the phone rings again, and Arjun picks it up only to learn that it's Atmaram.
Mm-hmm.
We then cut to Arjun and Ramprasad speeding down a dark road to the woods, with Arjun saying, "There is no other way."
Yeah.
He then hotwires the truck of opium.
Yeah, he does.
It's really attractive.
He hot wires it.
Yeah, he does. I also, this entire time, right, because this truck has, like, diesel fuel tanks, like, exposed on the underside of it. I literally, this entire final episode, was just waiting for someone to shoot that.
For it to just explode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With all the opium?
Sure.
How fitting would that be? But that didn't happen.
Nope.
So.
Maybe in season two.
Maybe next season. Yeah. Then we get another scene that took place 5 hours before all of that, where we see the schoolboys hanging out, and Gangu apologizes to his friends, who forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
And Gangu offers to help Nanu win Joe back, and he suggests that Nanu do what he does best, write a love letter.
Yeah.
Nanu doesn't have any English love ballads to listen to,
nope.
But he writes one anyway. What a sweet boy. Nanu then stops Joe on her way home from school and recites his love letter.
Well,
but he can't... Yes, so should we talk about how it... I wouldn't call that singing.
It's a rap! He's not singing, he's rapping.
Okay, well, I wouldn't call that a rap either.
That's why it's so funny!
It is funny, but I was like, what is happening? Nanu can't get this rap right, unfortunately.
Yeah.
He keeps restarting, and it's very sweet. But he then asks if he can just record a cassette for her.
But she's already, like, it's charming, you know?
Yes, she's like, okay, he's really... Because also, he, like, asked her if they could go talk privately, and she was like, no. And so everyone is watching this happen.
Yeah.
Bless him. And at this moment, a van of dudes rolls up and kidnaps Joe.
Yeah.
And Nanu yells at them to let her go, and he holds onto the side of the van, so they just take him, too.
Yeah.
Another thing that, as a 13-year-old girl, I'd be like, well, he's my hero. He tried to save me.
It's so true. But then I was also thinking about the other, like, Joe's friend who's just standing there, who just, like, watched those two get kidnapped. Like, what?
Yeah, and then, like, evidently, like, probably went home, I guess?
I guess, yeah, because, yeah, she doesn't go with them to follow
she's
them.
She's not
so...
part of the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's, okay, bye, good luck.
Oh, I wonder if they'll be friends after this. And Nanu's friends hurry after the van on a bicycle.
Yep.
Poor Gangu is, like, pedaling as fast as he can. But luckily, they end up coming across... Leica on her moped, and Gangu asks for her help, so off they go following the van. And then it's now dark, but Leica and Gangu have successfully followed the van to where it has stopped at another abandoned warehouse. There's a bunch of them.
It's all over the place.
And they hide and watch what happens, and they see Atmaram get on a motorbike and ride away. And Gangu recognizes him as the guy who killed Babu Tiger.
Yeah.
And this is when we discover what Babu Tiger told him, which is where a gun was hidden. And earlier in the day, Gangu had retrieved the gun, so he has it now and wants to use it against the goons to rescue Joe and Nanu.
Yes.
And we are now caught up to Atmaram calling Arjun. That's where he was going, off into town to get the phone. And Atmaram tells Arjun that if he wants to see his daughter alive, he has to bring the opium to a specific warehouse. It's also hilarious that Atmaram is speaking to low
yeah.
for Arjun to hear him properly. So Arjun's just like, what? I can't hear you. Speak up.
Yeah.
And Amram, there's like a dude just sitting there. And Amram like repeats himself. And then after he hangs up, he's like, you didn't hear anything, right? I just think it's great.
It's very silly, yeah.
And this is when we see Arjun take off with Ram Prasad to go get the truck. In the truck, Ram Prasad and Arjun are trying to figure out why Atmaram wants the opium. And Arjun thinks he's acting as a tool of Nabeed, but Ram Prasad says that Nabeed was killed earlier that day, mm-hmm. so that can't be true. And Arjun realizes there's only one person it could be. We then get a scene that took place 8 hours earlier than this, which shows Atmaram encountering Dhiraj. And Dhiraj asks Atmaram if he can help him. I was also like, who is this guy? It felt like he was coming out of nowhere.
I know. I kind of feel like, that way too. And I also, I think it's so interesting that they're like, well, who is Atmaram working for? Like, Atmaram couldn't possibly be just wanting this opium for himself.
Yeah.
To do his own crimes.
You know, killing's his own thing. You know, that's his thing.
Yeah, he just likes to kill people. He doesn't care about the rest of the bigger business.
Exactly. Back at the compound where Joe and Nanu are being held, Atmaram tells Dhiraj that Arjun is bringing the opium. Mm-hmm. Leka and Gangu observe all of this and are trying to avoid being detected, but they run into a guard. And the guard brings them to Atmaram, and Gangu pulls his gun.
Yeah.
And Atmaram pulls out his knife and starts advancing, and it's looking really bad for Gangu.
Yeah.
Until Leka tells Gangu to shoot him.
Yeah.
And he does. And the recoil throws him backward, and we're at intermission.
Yeah!
After intermission, we get a flashback to... I just really like the whole, like, old-school Western vibe.
It does have an old-school Western vibe, yeah. Like, with the titles and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, like, the font evokes and, like, the drama of it. I think they really use those elements in a good... way that added something to it.
Yeah.
Like, that could have been something that went over the top and was cheesy, but it was perfect and it fit the vibe.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a good observation.
So after intermission, we get a flashback to when Jugnu entered the warehouse after the shootout, and Jugnu tells his guys to figure out where the opium went, and then he goes to look for Nirmal. And then he finds Nirmal dead in a ditch because this poor sweet boy had been hit by a ricocheting bullet.
Yeah. At least he died very fast. Like, it was a very quick, dead.
Yeah.
Dead.
Dead. God, it's so good. But this is really sad.
This is sad. Really, this is way sadder than really anything sad Mel Brooks moment. Has ever written.
No, yeah. And Jugnu screams and cries and goes and lays next to Nirmal, and it's really, really sad.
Yeah, he's pretty upset with this.
Yeah. Sikanto encounters Jugnu at the Daba, who confronts him about working with someone else to get the opium. And then there's another giant shootout, and everyone ends up dead except for Jugnu.
Yep.
So Sikanto's gone. So there's that problem.
He's
solved.
Dead. Their whole faction of that gang is dead. Like, Jugnu's whole chunk of his gang is dead. Yeah. Like, it's all dead.
I also like that Jugnu just avoided the bullets by, like, crouching. He doesn't even really. Yeah, he was, like, bending over.
Yeah, and then he stands up, like, right at the end, and everyone's dead.
Yeah. Back at the kidnapping compound, Leka grabs Gangu. There's so many compounds. You gotta keep them straight. Leka grabs Gangu and they run along with Joe and Nanu. As Leka and the kids try to escape, they run into Atmaram again, and he moves forward menacingly from, like, the night mist, only to be hit at speed by a bus.
Yep.
And his body goes flying.
Ooh.
Sorry. Goes flying and it hits a tree. And it falls to the ground.
It's very Ludo, this moment.
Yes. Yeah. And we get another flashback to when Tipu had called Arjun, and we see that Tipu and Bunty are heading home in a van with Sunil's brothers.
Yep.
When they come across the third schoolboy walking Leka's moped, because she had sent him to go get help at the police station. Mm-hmm. And Tipu questions him, and this boy tells him about the kidnapping. And Tipu realizes that the kidnapper was Atmaram, so he takes the bus to go rescue Leica. And he's the one who hit Atmaram with the bus.
Yay!
Love it. Hilarious. It's great. There is then a bit of a frenzy as Atmaram's men start shooting and everyone scrambles to safety. But then Tipu and Bunty go to find a way out. And there's a bunch of shooting as they dodge around. It's very funny. Neither of them are good shots. No. I like that. Yeah, Bunty's not even like a good gangster.
Yeah, no.
But then Arjun and Ramprasad arrive with the opium truck. And Arjun says that he'll go take a look at what's happening. And he arrives on the scene and starts shooting the bad guys too. He is a good shot. Yep.
Just, like, immediately kills, like, half these guys in, like, 10 seconds.
And then he runs into Tipu, and Tipu tells him where Joe is. So Arjun goes to take the kids to his Jeep, while Bunty and Tipu keep shooting, and the bad guys don't end up dead. They just end up running away because they saw Dhiraj run away. And Ramprasad sees Dhiraj run toward the opium truck, and Arjun goes after him.
Yeah. The part where he's, like, tells his daughter, like, it's going to be okay, don't worry about it. I was like, Arjun's going to die.
I was like, so convinced he was going to die. And then I was like, but this isn't that kind of a show.
Yeah, but it could be, though, you know?
It could be. I know. I didn't want it to be. I wanted it to be, like, the kind of show that they're like, we know you fall in love with these characters and we're going to keep them alive. Mm-hmm.
And we, I guess, well, we don't know. So, yeah.
Especially because you can't make him, like, lie to his daughter. That's going to scar her for life.
Ugh. Yeah. That would be a whole other level of sad.
Yeah. But, yeah, so Dhiraj and Arjun get into this really intense, like, fist fight. I don't know why Dhiraj didn't just shoot Arjun when he was walking towards him with the headlights illuminating
him. He's just, like, right there.
But it's fine. And Dhiraj reveals that he wanted the opium because he would get nothing if Arjun gave the money to Pratap. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, bro.
Like, like, you don't matter. You're about not important. You. Get out of here.
Their fight continues and Arjun ends up knocking out Dhiraj, then stands over him with a gun in his hand. Meanwhile, Gangu gives Tipu his father's gun and tells him that his dad also gave him a message to pass on, but he can't remember what it is because it's been a very stressful night.
It's been too much going on.
Yeah. And Tipu, Bunty, and Leica then go to check on Atmaram's body, only to find that it's missing.
Of course it is. Like, why?
He doesn't die. He doesn't die.
Nope. It's like a cockroach.
Yeah, and Tipu says that he's going to hunt Atmaram down and kill him for real this time. Mm-hmm. And before he leaves, Leica takes his hand in hers to say something. But he's like, no, I don't need this distraction right now. Let's do this afterward.
Yeah.
But then he kind of like checks in with her again to be like, no, we'll pick up from here though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's like, you're don't forget what you were about to say.
Yeah, so sweet. So Tipu goes looking for Atmaram and finds him in the warehouse. And this is where things get a little freaky.
Yeah. Just a little.
Atmaram runs speedy fast from place to place like a vampire.
It is very vampiric, yes.
And so he's able to avoid every one of Tipu's gunshots. And he then appears behind Tipu and gives him 3 out of the 4 cuts.
Yeah.
So Tipu's bleeding out from some pretty important areas of the body. But he does get his gun and manages to shoot Atmaram in the head before he can deliver the 4th and final cut. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he's dead this time. More on that later. Tipu then collapses, but Leica, Bunty, and Arjun find him and go to drive him to get some help. And as Tipu lies there dying in Leica's arms, he gives her the receipt for her father's opium stock.
Yeah.
And says he's sorry he can't fulfill all her dreams, but he got his revenge.
Yeah.
He better live.
I know. Sorry. I really hope that he survives.
Uh-huh. We then see Arjun call Pratap and tell... Another thing I like about this is that, like, the characters kind of get, like, an exit.
I really like that, too. The credit. Like, they, it's like they their storylines wrap up and then they get their... their credits and then the next one. And yeah, it's a nice way of doing
things. Really, it's really well done. And it also made me be like, okay, so I'm not going to see like Tipu safely in like a hospital bed. Right. Come on.
Yeah.
But then in the next scene, we see Arjun call Pratap and tell him he won't play these games anymore, so Pratap can do whatever he wants. Arjun is going to give all the opium to the government. Mm-hmm. Pratap's very upset by this, but Arjun doesn't give a flying whiz.
It is very intense when he says the words that he says, though. It's, yeah, like...
It is very
intense. My heart skipped a beat.
I felt something, yes. Then Yamini shows up at the station and gives Arjun the negatives of the blackmail photos. Mm-hmm. And Arjun thanks her, but he says that he's going to tell his wife the truth because she deserves to know. And Yamini pushes back on that, saying that he'd be telling the truth for himself, not for his wife. Mm-hmm. And if he tells her the truth, it will shift the burden of his guilt and mistake onto her. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an interesting take.
It is.
I see what she's saying.
Yeah.
But she's already on to you.
That is true. And she, yeah, neither of them knows that in this moment. So I think it'll be interesting to see
what happens.
And also, I do think, generally speaking, it's good to tell the truth to your partner. And let her decide if she wants to try to continue to be in a relationship with you after you've cheated on her.
Yeah.
Presumably multiple times.
I agree with that as well. Yeah. I think it's complicated when it's years in the past and you're like, that was a huge mistake and I know I'm never going to do it again.
Yeah, it is very complicated. And I think it's nice that they get at the heart of the complicatedness of it. But you're absolutely right. It's like, yeah, he seemingly decides that he's not going to tell her, but she has an inkling.
She's already on. Yeah,
going
like
on.
The whole point is moot. It's like you should absolutely not continue lying to her.
Yeah,
if
because
she's
she knows and she's going to find out, and that is absolutely the worst case scenario.
Yeah. Yep. But that's his exit scene. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And we see Jugnu wearing a dress and telling Ganji that the Calcutta deal fell through, but if they didn't get the deal, then no one else did either. And Jugnu asks Ganji if he is happy, and Ganji kind of just waves Jugnu off. Jugnu then says that it's been exhausting living a lie, trying to be like Ganji in order to keep him happy. And Jugnu takes away Ganji's breathing apparatus and suffocates him. Mm-hmm. And Jugnu then comes out as being Ganji's daughter rather than Ganji's son.
Yeah.
So that's great. I love Jugnu's journey.
I'm fascinated to see what that ends up looking like
how that
in
develops.
The second season too.
Yeah.
I loved the way that moment was shot. Like the lighting is incredible.
Yes.
Where like Jugnu like leans forward and like leans into the red light. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Very cool.
I also love that like the advisors are there too and they witness this and they're just like, yeah, okay. Like it seems like, you know, there wasn't a moment of like, oh, we don't know if we can work for, you know, a woman, mm-hmm. which is great.
Yeah.
Or maybe they did and I
missed it. No. I don't think you missed anything. I think it all happened so quickly that I wouldn't be surprised if maybe there was some of that. But it would be really cool if there wasn't.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if they were just like, sure.
That's a good point. I guess I was like, oh, this is promising that first initial
and
view.
I do also think that if they were opposed to working for Jugnu, even now after having coming out as a woman, mm-hmm. they would maybe just be opposed based on the fact that Jugnu did a lot of really bad things.
Right, Jugnu's incompetent, sure. Yeah.
Like, yeah, regardless of, you know, how... she presents himself, herself, isn't great at being a gangster.
Right, that's very true.
Yeah.
But this is Jugnu's exit scene.
Yes.
So Ganji is dead. Long live Jugnu. great. And finally, we see Atmaram lying where he was shot down. Mm-hmm. And then the camera pans over to his knife lying in the dirt. And then we see his hand reach out and grasp it.
Yep.
And that's the end.
Yep.
Oh, man. Because, yeah, I didn't specify. You had mentioned in your recap last week that Aht-Maram has 7 deaths he'll survive.
Although, now I'm not sure which it is, because I had thought that after... I'm having trouble counting up the number of lives that he has lost already at that point, because yeah. I thought that he had, in the scene where he kills the kid's father at the cafe, he's like, you can see he has, I think he has 5 X's on his fingers at that point. Or no, he has 4, and then he gets...
4, and he's like, I have to add another one.
But I didn't know if he was saying he already had added another one, because one of them looked pretty new.
Oh.
So I don't know if he has 5, if it's 4, and then 5 is getting hit by the van, and then 6 right. is getting shot by Tipu, which would mean that he has 1 more death. Or so basically, I don't know. Yeah. And maybe we're not supposed to know, but I had been really confident after the most recent time I had watched this a few months ago that this was like Aht-Maram waking up in his last life. Like, this is his last life.
Yeah.
But now I'm not so sure.
I mean, how great would it be if this was his last life and he's just like, I'm going to go retire on the beach somewhere.
That'd be great. I would love that for Aht-Maram.
I also just want to know, like, is he some sort of supernatural being?
I know.
What was that super speed? That was freaky.
So freaky. Another thing I noticed for the first time in this rewatch is that you see it really, really quickly at the hospital. Like, not enough that you would actually notice it if you didn't know that he did it. But, like, there's just a really quick moment of, like, oh, my God. Like, he just flashes to another spot. But, like...
That actually made me really scared.
Yeah, you, like, you don't...
I just got scared.
I didn't notice it. Like, the first 2 times I watched this, I didn't see it. And then I saw it this 3rd time. Like, oh, my gosh. It happens.
Yeah, a chill just ran down my spine. And I was like, is he in my house? Is he here?
He's not behind you as far as I could tell.
Wouldn't be surprised if he's a vampire. He might not have a reflection. So
that's true. So yeah,
cameras.
You can't
pick
him up on the camera. Suddenly, you just start spurting blood from 4 different parts of your body.
Yeah, God, that'd be terrifying.
That would be really horrible.
But yeah, so we have quite a few questions to be answered in season 2.
Definitely.
You know, does Tipu survive? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen with Arjun and his wife?
Yeah.
Also, I want to know what happened with Dhiraj.
Yeah.
Did Arjun kill him?
Right.
Did he let him go?
Yeah. I don't know.
We don't know.
I would like to find that out, too, because just because the negatives aren't there, like, there are definitely still people out there who can cause trouble for Arjun, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I want to know what happens with the kids, too. I want to know what happens with Joe and Nanu, and if they, like, get to fall in love.
Yeah.
Even more than they already are in love.
Oh, they're so cute.
So adorable.
Love it, because I also love that Nanu was like, I was gonna save you, and Joe was like, I didn't ask you, like, why are you here? Classic.
Yeah
I loved it.
I'm so glad you loved it. I knew you would, but there's always that part of me that's like, what if I'm wrong? What if she hates it?
And I no, I mean, having just watched Brother's Son it had a very similar vibe. Like, they're very different shows, but in terms of, like, the mix of the comedy and the action and the violence,
there is something really fun about, like, a dark, gory comedy where there's it's a good contrast in mood, and especially when you have characters like in both of those series who you can just root for and just get excited about, while also there being characters who you're like, I'm legitimately kind of terrified of what they might be capable of.
yeah exactly.
Yeah,
it's great. It was awesome. And I was just like, I want more of this. And I actually noticed just this morning, realized that Raj and DK were also behind Farzi, which maybe you already knew.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that, but it's on my list.
It's been on my list for forever because I was like, oh, this looks like it's right up my alley.
Yeah.
It looks really good. And now that I saw that they're the makers of it. Yeah,
it did
now
just,
I'm like, I'm watching that.
Yeah, it did just, like, skyrocket to the top of my list, too. Yeah.
Right? I know. I'm like, I'll download that for the plane, maybe.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like everything I've seen them do. I know I said that already last week, but I'll say it again.
It's good to repeat it.
Yeah, and I just think everybody who was involved in this just was so good. I loved it.
It was awesome.
No notes.
Yeah. really excited for a second season, for sure.
Me too, absolutely.
Well, Bollywood news.
I just wanted to, this isn't Bollywood news because it's about Tevino Thomas, but he posted a story or something on Instagram where he is apparently in New Orleans. And, fun. Like, why am I not there?
It's a great question.
Why am I not in New Orleans with Tevino Thomas?
You know, I think maybe you should really examine the choices you've made in your life that have led me you to not being in New Orleans.
Here in Vermont still, while Tevino Thomas is in my country, but in New Orleans, which is exactly. Very Where far did away.
You go wrong? But you're so right. We've talked about this before, but, like, whenever any of them are in the U.S.,
yeah.
It's like, that's our backyard. I should just be there.
Why am I?
It's a giant country.
It's a very large country, yes. It's even bigger than India.
Yeah. So I think it's forgivable.
I agree. Yeah, but it is nice.
But especially if they're on the East Coast.
Right. Too. That feels even closer. Yeah. It is nice to just know that he's on the same, like, landmass right? that I'm on.
Yeah.
That feels good.
Yeah. It does feel good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I hope he's having a great time.
Me too.
We'll go sometime. We'll recreate the Tevino Thomas tour.
Excellent. Yeah, I'll take notes. All the stories he posts where he goes. Just go touch the same buildings that he was near.
Toby was here. You gotta be careful. You might pick up some ghosts.
If that's how I end up with ghosts, I'm okay with that. You're here for it. That's a great story. I'll tell that story until the day I die and become a ghost myself.
Great. Pluggables. Mm-hmm. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. Do what you do.
Mm-hmm. All the things.
I mean, that's all, I'm going to leave it at that. I think that sums it up.
Yeah, you get to choose what it is that you do and do the do.
Yeah, do the do. And consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Mm-hmm. You can also leave a rating or a review. Those are always very helpful for us, and we deeply, deeply appreciate them. But even if you don't do any of those things, we deeply appreciate you for listening. So thank you.
Yes, we absolutely do. And we'd love it if you also joined us on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists and add our favorite songs from the movies that we watch to those playlists. You can find those in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays.
Yes.
Yay.
And now.
And now for something completely different.
Completely different, total shift in tone.
Yeah,
we've been flirting around it for a while.
Yep.
And our film next week, I've now started abbreviating to Robne.
Yep.
But the full name is Robne Bana Di Jodi.
Yes.
Which I'm so glad. In full transparency, we were gonna watch Animal.
We were, yeah.
A very different film. And we decided we're going on a trip to Italy. We're coming back. We need something beautiful and sweet and emotional.
Yes.
And not in a dark, heavy way.
Right.
So we're watching Robne.
Yeah.
And it's honestly one of my favorites.
It's so good. It's so sweet. I haven't watched it in quite a while. I watched it like 5 times in rapid succession after we first watched
yeah.
it. So it's been a while. And I'm glad that we waited. You know, we had talked about watching it like multiple points last year, but it just, for whatever reason, kept getting pushed. And now I'm really glad that we're watching it after having watched The Romantics and knowing
Me too.
Like the significance that this holds for Yash Raj films. And I'm also just like, I have IMDb pulled up, and so the trailer is playing, and Anushka just like, you know, was revealed in all her glory. And I remember that this was her first movie. This was the movie that launched her as an actress.
It's her debut film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a film too that I remember loving when I watched it the first time, but it feels like each time I watch it, I love and appreciate it more.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm really excited to watch it again.
It's just a special movie. Like, that sounds so cheesy to say, but it really is. It's just like, it's just lovely and silly and funny and has great dance numbers. And
yeah, the music is so good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. I just got so excited thinking about.
I know. I was just, I was thinking, holly, holly.
That was what I was thinking about too.
Yeah.
And of course, so good. It's also, we've also got Shah Rukh Khan in our, yeah. our leading role, doing another doubles role, which we always love to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So would you like to share the IMDb synopsis?
I would love to. A breathtaking, goose-flesh-igniting, awe-inspiring Ooh. Love journey of an ordinary man, Suri, and his, quote, total opposite love, Tani.
That's it?
That's it. That doesn't really tell us much about the plot, but I do like the terms breathtaking, goose-flesh-igniting, and awe-inspiring.
I'm going to be honest, I really thought that with those adjectives, I thought it was going to be a more evocative nope. description.
Nope. They used all their energy on.
Yeah. Okay. So Rob Nibbana di Jodi is available to watch on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. And the Amazon Prime synopsis is, this is a story of Surinder Sani, mm-hmm. a simple, clean-hearted, I have to believe they meant kind-hearted? Or his pure-hearted.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, like, yeah. Clean-hearted is, yeah.
He's
squeaky
untainted.
Clean.
Yeah. Honest man leading a humdrum life when he meets his total opposite and finds love in the flamboyant, fun-loving, vivacious Tani. I would
Even
say she's
adjectives.
Not... She's not always that
I know.
Fun-loving, vivacious
I think
person.
It's really interesting that it doesn't sound like you are done. It sounds like there's maybe
I'm
more
not,
over there.
I'm not done. We'll continue. What follows is a journey filled with laughter, tears, joy, pain, music, dance that makes us believe that there is an extraordinary love story in every ordinary couple.
Aww. That's
beautiful.
That is really sweet. I like how that began and how it ended, and then the middle was just a bunch of mush. But like, yes. I do think like neither of these plot descriptions actually talks about what this movie is about.
No, so should we give it a go?
I don't know. I almost feel like maybe we shouldn't. Maybe
okay,
we just kind of
no,
let it
won't.
Be. Let it be.
Yeah, it's a very sweet, pure love story.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's so much to love and so much to talk about.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Me too.
So, until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
Nope.
But we need Bollywood.
We really, really do. Yeah.
Yeah. And more guns and gulabs, please.
I can't wait. Yeah.
Bring it on.
Can't come soon enough.